Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford Show on B-Ball. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m., and we really enjoy doing it. That's 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time or Pacific Standard Time, depending on what phase we're in. And this show is also podcast forever. So if you miss the show and you usually listen live, as many of you do, you can listen to the podcast. I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. And you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, or I'm also the COO of Kiyokawa Crawford Sports Management. Kiyokawa is spelled K-I-Y-O-K-A-W-A. But the real star of this show is Richard Lucas, the greatest father in the world, the greatest husband, the greatest State Farm insurance owner, the best landscaper around. Oh, he's getting really good at this. Immaculate. He might even get into trees pretty soon. Name the tree. He is also a very good basketball analyst, and he is the best center after Blair Rasmussen, the University of Oregon has had. 4-year player there, and I forgot to ever ask Richard. I think he was the captain of the team at Oregon, and of course, we asked him some really great insurance questions, and I got a doozy tonight for him. This might be the top one of all time, but Richard, you were the captain of the Ducks at one point. Is that correct?
Yes. Good evening, sir. And I was for 2 seasons, my junior and senior years, I was the team captain. It was an honor to do so.
Almost unheard of. And I don't even think that jerk down at Oregon State that played down there, Gary Payton, you know, don't punch me now, Gary, I'm just joking. You know, I don't think Gary Payton was the captain more than 1 year.
I don't know if he was either, but I don't think that he doesn't strike me as the kind that really cared to be captain. It was something that that was a real honor for me. I felt like it was, it allowed me to almost be like a liaison between the players and the coaches. And I kind of enjoyed that role. If we wanted to wear a certain uniform or, you know, something to do with practice or whatever it might be, the players came to me and we discussed it. And then I was the one sent in to sit across from grouchy old Don Munson. So, it was some good times for sure.
Okay, don't be blowing up my phone now, everybody. I was joking about Gary Payton. Now, Richard might not be joking about him, but I was joking about Gary Payton. So I like to have a little fun. I got a dry sense of humor, so don't get too upset about it. What was your toughest challenge as being a captain of the Ducks, Richard?
I think the toughest challenge is players were sometimes had some unrealistic expectations. And they expected me to convey unrealistic expectations to, as I said, grouchy old Don Munson. And so, you know, it could be something even as simple as, hey, we don't want to go here when we're on the road. We want to do this or something like that. And Munson was pretty, had a pretty set schedule. He's a pretty rigid guy. There wasn't a whole lot of give and take. I know it seems like players nowadays, there's a lot more of kind of back and forth. But Munson was straight old school, and things were exactly the way he wanted them to be. And there were little things, too, like an example being if the bus, you know, we were told, hey, 10 o'clock, you got to be downstairs. Let's say we're at the hotel. 10 o'clock, you got to be downstairs because the bus is leaving. Well, what that truly meant, you had to kind of understand, you know, what that truly meant. It didn't mean 10 o'clock the bus was leaving. It meant that 15 minutes before 10 o'clock you should be there because the bus potentially could leave. And if you got there at 9:59, though theoretically you were early, you were actually late. And so it's there's a lot of that kind of stuff that we had to deal with.
The old John Spoelstra theory, Richard. If you're on time, you're late.
Exactly. So
yeah.
You just learned.
Did you, in your career, have you ever left somebody that missed the bus? remember, and if and you know what, it's far enough away that the statutes of limitation is up, Richard. So we want to know names.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I can tell you though, the time that we've two times in the 4 years that I was there, while on the road, we actually left a guy. One time going to a game, and one time the next, or you know, after a game the next morning, heading to the airport. And in both cases, the player had to had to find his own way there. The one going to the airport in the morning, he literally jumped into a taxi and caught the plane. The one going to the game, the hotel drove him in the hotel shuttle. So he is going with his bag and everything in a hotel shuttle to the game. Needless to say, he didn't play at all that game. And then the other kid was punished adequately when we got back to campus.
Richard, did you ever have to organize a non-coaches team meeting?
Yes, we did. It wasn't me per se, in a sense that, hey, you know, I think that we need to do this. I was never a fan of coaches' meetings. I thought it was kind of pointless. But I knew as the captain that we needed to have some discussions because there was just so much that some of the other players needed to kind of get out their chest. And it all kind of stemmed from, you know, my junior year, we were an NIT team, and we had, you know, a pretty decent squad with Terrell and myself. And we had 4 out of 5 starters coming back my senior year. So there was actually some high expectations for our team my senior year, which would have been Terrell's junior year. And we didn't do very well, especially early on. And so there was a lot of guys who were kind of feeling a little disillusioned, feeling like the season's kind of getting away from you before even league started. And so we had some of those meetings. But, again, I'm not a big fan of them. I think they're just a bitch session, to be honest with you. But I felt like these guys really wanted it to, and as I suspected, it didn't do anything. It just was 2 hours of us sitting around bitching at each other about what was wrong, you know. So, yeah. So yes, I did have to do that, and it was it wasn't quite one of my favorite things. But you know, sometimes you have to do what you are not exactly wanting to do when you're captain.
All right, it's time Richard owns his own State Farm. Boy, that was a bad statement. There owns his own. I don't even know whether that's a mistake grammatically or not. Well, Richard's the owner of a State Farm insurance agency, a proud one. And I know factually he does a great job because I talk to clients of his and he's always working. Matter of fact, he needs to return a phone call to me a couple times. So. But anyway, because I'm not one of his clients, but I will be at some point. But Richard, the proverbial question, the rock chip question. Now,
yep.
I see a lot of these. This is what I'd like to know, and I'd like to, if you don't know the answer, I appreciate that. But
yep.
Ask the biggies at State Farm. I mean, the really biggies. You're big. They got even more biggies.
Yep.
You got all these signs on the back of these trucks that carry rocks around and everything. We are not responsible for any windshield chips.
Yep.
Is that just something to kind of intimidate people? What do you have any alternative if you get a rock chip, or is it just luck of the draw?
Yeah, there's no real recourse for that. If something like that happens, that's just what the insurance is for, and it's part of I kind of believe it's just kind of part of the course, par for the course of driving on the road. So, you know, there's not really anything that you can That you can kind of go after the driver of the truck or whatever it may be that caused it in those cases. So the only way I would imagine that you would have any potential abilities to you know get some compensation is if there was something that was you know maybe dropped off of a truck, a pickup truck, you know, some sort of an item that maybe struck your car or struck your windshield. But rock chips, that's just kind of the way it goes, and it kind of lends me to we insure restaurants as well, and there was a restaurant that had a customer claim food poisoning. And so they went to the emergency room and, you know, a couple $1,000s worth of medical bills. And so I was talking to the claims rep and I said, you know, this is my first time I've had a claim against one of our restaurants. And, you know, it's what do we need to do and all that stuff. And the claims rep just said, we essentially assume that every restaurant's going to have, you know, one or two of these a year. It's just kind of, you know, just part of it. It's not a big deal. They don't think much about it. They write the check, and they just move on. And so I think it's kind of the same way when you come into windshield. It's just, you know, it's just kind of life.
Do you have a comment, Richard, on them putting the signs? I guess, I mean, it's a little bit non-business-like, in my opinion. You know, when I see that, I do get a little bit irritated. I would have a tendency not to do business with the company that put that on there. Or do you think it's a good idea for them to put it on there?
Oh, for them, it's an absolutely great idea because I think it absolves them of any potential liability issues. But I don't think that they have to do that because there's not really anybody who is going to be truly wasting any resources to come after someone for rock chips and glass. So. It basically feels like they're spinning their wheels a little bit.
Now, you know, let's go one more on the driving, the actual moving driving part of things. Okay. If something falls off a something in front of you, Richard, falls off. Say yep. Somebody's moving, and a chair falls off, and you can't avoid that chair. You're not falling too close or anything, then is there liability on that person ahead of you?
That is absolutely true, correct, yeah. So the operating of the vehicle, you're supposed to be able to operate a vehicle and operate it safely. And if you do have something like a chair or something that falls off that causes damage or injury to others, then, yeah, absolutely, the liability portion of your insurance, auto insurance, would pay for whatever resulted from that falling off. So absolutely, and that's exactly what the insurance is for.
All right, I'm going to go back one more question on the rock chip thing, Richard. Yeah. Why are not some of these people that haul rocks required to have a cover on there? I would think the insurance lobby would be behind that and force that 100%, and the insurance lobby is powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful, but I'm gonna chalk this one up above my pay grade because I have no idea. It maybe there's some discussions that are happening at the highest level in the company, but that's not something that's disseminated to us. So it's a great idea, and it seems like it would alleviate a lot of potential, losses. But you know, really, I have no idea why it's.
Will you check into that for me, see if there's anything for that, and we'll talk about it down the road if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. It's just a quick email for me.
You betcha. And you know, the other thing I want to mention is I really appreciate the feedback, Richard, from our listeners. And we have a lot of people listen to this program, either live or the podcast, as they can do. They love the – I bring this up every week, but it's worth it. They love the insurance questions. I mean, so thank you for answering them. I mean, you're – if anybody can't tell that Richard's a great State Farm insurance owner, then they probably shouldn't be listening to this program, quite frankly, because, you know, he can answer the questions. He answers them properly, succinctly. And how does people get a hold of you that's hearing these answers, Richard?
Yeah, we'd love to chat with you if anybody has any questions in regards to insurance or obviously sports. 503-200-5545 is the number to our office in North Portland. Beautiful North Portland, NoPo. And give us a call and we'd love to chat.
In beautiful North Portland, a historic part of Portland, Oregon, and which has quite a few historic places, and that is one of them. Richard, who wins the NBA Finals and why?
Now that it is there, the matchup that we've been wanting, at least I wanted that, I feel that it's going to be a great series back and forth. There's obviously not going to be any blowouts. There's not going to be anybody who is going to just roll over. These are the two top teams in the NBA, and they're going at it. Who wins? I think it's just so hard for me to believe that anybody stops the LeBron train. He is so good, and he's so good at putting teams on his back, scoring when they need a bucket. I don't think there's anybody on Golden State that's going to be able to truly, truly guard him. And the thing that he does so well, and you can see it in his stat line, is because he is such a factor offensively, when he penetrates, everybody, I'm talking people in the front row, everybody tries to come in to stop him, and then he's able to just easily dish it out to people to the perimeter for guys to get open shots. So I would have to give the edge to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but it's by a narrow, narrow, narrow margin. I think that if they had the home court advantage, I'd give them a larger edge. But I think because it is a Golden State home court advantage, I would still lean toward Cavaliers, but by the narrowest of margins.
Richard, you've got some real unique coaching situation. I still feel like that even David Blatt wins this, his job's in jeopardy. I feel strongly about that. You got so many sidebars on this thing. On the flip side, Steve Kerr continues to heap praise on Mark Jackson, who the ownership fired, you know, and he took his place. Then you've got the saga of what's going to be with Kevin Love. You got a million sidebars in this thing, and of course there's always LeBron who, if there isn't a sidebar, will create one.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be a great finals. I mean, it really is. I feel like some of the finals over the past couple of years have not had the sidebars, the news that comes out of both sides. There's so many little areas that you can kind of point to from both teams. You know, you mentioned Kevin Love, and you know, I'm at first I was like, you know, Kevin Love is probably not fitting in there very well, and I could see him, you know, leaving. I'm starting to lean back toward him staying, and the reason being is that I think that he realized he's starting to figure out his role on this team, and you can see he was playing fantastic right toward the end there when he got hurt, and I think rings are important to guys like him who make a ton of money, or all-stars, USA representatives, I mean, you name it, they have so much of the accolades that they, you know, that you can get. I think he wants rings, and he wants to be a part of championships. And Cleveland, when they start getting, you know, Varishal back and there's the other one who was injured back, they're going to be really, really good. And so I kind of feel like that Kevin Love will continue, at least as of today. That could change tomorrow. But what are your thoughts about that?
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate you asking. I think that I will be shocked if Kevin Love stays in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I think that the two teams that are the real possibilities are the Boston Celtics He loves the town of Boston, and they've got the money to pay him. And then, of course, always the Lakers, where his uncle is predominant, and a lot of his people that he works with, the physical therapy people and the strength people, all are based there. And I still don't think it's that far-fetched that you may see a Laker team with Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and Kevin Love all together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not outside of the realm of possibility. I just think that it feels to me that he wants to win and win now. And yeah, you're right. If those guys all came together next year, then there's always a chance, obviously. But that's not happening right away. And you know, he has an opportunity immediately next year to be right in the same position again with a chance at potentially ring number two.
And I will say this, Richard, that anybody that signs a long-term deal in the NBA right now, and your son's going to be an NBA player, Landon, but he'll come in at the right time, I think, is crazy, because with that new TV deal, you want to sign a short-term deal and then go for the max contract, because the money is going to be unbelievable. And I think the percentage is going to go back up that the players make. I think we're definitely having a lockout in 2017. So any long-term max deals right now be foolish.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to – it depends on who you are. And if you're in the have a possibility for max deal, you're one of the top, you know, players in the country. And so you have that opportunity to kind of hold off and do something shorter, because the money, you're right. I mean, the money is already getting crazy. I mean, I was reading the other day that Tristan Thompson had turned down like a $50 million contract. And, you know, Tristan Thompson is not a household name. I mean, this is not somebody who, you know, there's not probably, other than his family, there's probably no one in Cleveland who buys a ticket just to see Tristan Thompson play. But yet he's going to command $10, $12, $14 million a year, which is just, it's unbelievable. And so, yeah, I mean, I could easily see those numbers start to go up, because the NBA is as popular as it's ever been. And they've got unbelievable stars right now. And I think what's also helped the NBA is, to me, Curry is more like every man. He's not a behemoth. He's not a freak of nature, you know, athletically. And I think because he's kind of slight build and is just, you know, not a huge physical specimen like a LeBron, you know, I think that people kind of are drawn to him. I mean, I really do feel like he has kind of expanded some of, you know, the fans of the NBA because of who he is.
Richard, have a great night. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week, when we'll be talking more about the NBA Finals. And how about next week we take a little bit of time, Richard, as well? Let's break down the Oregon Ducks. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds like fun. There's a lot to talk about those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Good night, Richard. Good night, listening audience. Everybody make your free throws, and we'll be back again next Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Thanks for listening. And Richard, thank you very much. A tremendous job once again. Get hold of Richard at his insurance, State Farm Insurance Agency. He is a great owner. And we will talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.